You don't rest when you're laboring. You're resting when you are reaping the fruit of what you have not labored for. Jesus made a very strong statement. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored.
Welcome to Harvest Family Church. We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. Our prayer is that you would accept this seed of God's word in order to reap from the finished work of Jesus. Join us now for today's segment.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will tell you what. Some good stuff for you tonight, right? Just the truth of God's word is good. And I tell you, you know how much the Lord loves you when you keep hearing truth. So, you know what? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. And you know, there's a little bit of a... It's not exactly entirely the point, I think, of where the Lord wants to go tonight, but there is an element there, you know, a word that I was thinking about called escapism, you know, and escapism is just a mentality, right, that you're in a problem or in a trial and you want to get out of it, right? You're in a problem or a trial, you want to get out of it. Suicide, you have to think probably the majority of the time, is escapism, right? If you want to end it so you can be done with it, right? You don't want to deal with it anymore, so you want to finish it. And I tell you, there's an awesome thing here that I believe with all of my heart, because it's been stirring me up so much, but that if you hear what the Lord will speak to you tonight by His Spirit, that when you hear what He's saying to you, it'll show you and teach you how you deal with life. It'll show you and teach you how you deal with life, how you live. You know, the Lord tells us that to live is Christ and to die is gain. We'll see that in a new light today, or we'll just say this, in further light. In further light, because a lot of times it's not a new light. You don't want new lights, you just want further, and we'll go there. So in verse number 1, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1, it says, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, which is our body," right? We know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, it says we have a building from God, a house. So notice that it said our earthly house, this body, and then it says we have a building from God, a house. So it's talking about what? A body also, right? It's talking about a body. Now there are different kinds of bodies. The Bible says there are heavenly bodies, right? There are different things have different bodies, and so a heavenly body is distinctly different from an earthly body. So it says, "For we know that our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal." So it is an eternal body that we have, right? An eternal body, eternal in the heavens. It says, "Look, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed," and a perfect literal translation for that is desiring to be clothed upon. Desiring to be clothed upon. And we're gonna go into this. So in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation. Habitation is our house. A house is our heavenly body, right? So it says, earnestly desiring to be clothed. But there is a lot of misunderstanding that comes with this. So all that we know so far, if we're just taking it as far as what we've read, you know that you will be clothed, right? Now, it doesn't say like again, or like it's gonna be something like that, that is going to replace, right? Maybe is a good word, right? But it says desiring to be clothed upon with our habitation, which is from heaven. So we know that what we will have is a heavenly body, right? Not an earthly body. So that's why it says it is from heaven. It's not of this world. If it was of this world, it would be perishable. Because it's not of this world, then it's not perishable. It's eternal. So watch this. It says, "Indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked." So in other words, we will not be found without a body. So we will have bodies, right? We will not be found naked. And it says, so again in verse number 3, "If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked," and there's probably more there, but we'll leave it there. "For we who are in this tent now," in this earthly tent, "we groan, being burdened," this is important, "not because we want to be unclothed, Not because we want to be unclothed. So what we're looking for, and this is important, and we don't want you to miss this, right? The answer to the things that we go through in this world is not to be unclothed. In other words, to be taken out of the problem, right? Because there is sin in the flesh, it doesn't mean that this is important, right? The answer for us is not to get rid of the body. That's not the answer for us. The answer has never been to get rid of the body, right? The answer has been to know how to live in the body. I hope that you heard that, and it's important. Listen, what we're saying tonight is just so crucial, because listen, knowing Christ is everything, and probably all of us here agree, right? But knowing Christ is not knowing Him personally, like knowing what His face looks like. It's not about knowing what the tone of His voice is. It's not about seeing how He dresses. Like if you see Him, you would know Him. So let me just challenge you with this formal way of thinking, right? If it is not that, just to know Him flippantly like that, then what is to know Christ? And if to know Christ is to know what He has done for you, because there is nothing else that you can know about Him, because you don't know anything else about Him. You understand what I'm saying? The only thing you know about Christ, according to the Bible, is what He's done for you. There is no other knowledge of Christ that's been revealed to you. You don't know anything else about Jesus. Because honestly, look through your Bible. What does the Bible reveal about Jesus Christ? Lindsay says something powerful that we get used to hearing and we don't hear real well sometimes anymore. My people perish because of their lack of knowledge. Everything that you go through today, and I'm going to tell you like this, so generally speaking, and I mean every word of it, every single solitary thing that we suffer with today in this life is because of lack of knowledge. If you had the knowledge for that area, you would not be suffering in it. So everything that I suffer with in my life today, every single thing, and I know that there are things, right? Everything that is a challenge for in my life, anything that I see in my life today, all of it is because of lack of knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He's done. Because I don't know anything else. And you know, there's a lot of passion coming out of my voice because of there's. So we should keep going. So maybe you'll feel as passionate as I do right now about it. So, because you get caught up in the hype, but you don't know why I'm so excited, so I'll tell you why. So look at what it says. So it says, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For verse number 4, for we who are in this tent, we groan being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. It's not because we want to get rid of this body. The answer, and that's so crucially important, right? Because we feel sad and depressed. A person that is depressed is leading to taking off the body. A person that is found in depression is on the way to wanting to get rid of their body. Because they feel if I can get out of this body, my problem would be over. In other words, if I die and leave this body and go to sleep, my problem is over, right? But it's not. It's not. If they don't know Jesus Christ, their problems have only begun. Right? But look at what it says. It says, for we who are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed. Listen, a Christian that is thinking in their right mind of Christ, right? A Christian that is thinking in their right mind of Christ does not want to be unclothed. He wants to be, watch, further clothed. Now that, I tell you, I have read that, I've read it to you. Listen to how awesome this is. You don't want to be unclothed, you want to be further clothed. So here's what's important about this. That means you are already clothed. You are already clothed. And you're not clothed with just a physical body of sin. That's not the clothing it's talking about. That's not the clothing it's talking about. But here's what we're talking about. When it talks about being further clothed, and we're going to look at a lot of things that are going to help you see that. But what it's talking about is about the righteousness and what you already possess in Christ, right? And you are clothed. In other words, you receive and you partake. You've read before, the Lord has written, and you've read it before, probably, right, that the Lord says that we should put on Christ, right? What that's really talking about is being clothed upon. It's the same word, being clothed upon. Clothe yourself with Christ. Now, what does that mean? Because, right, if you're being a student of the Word of God, what does it mean to be clothed with Christ? It's to be clothed with exactly what we're talking about. To be clothed with the knowledge of Christ. To be clothed with the knowledge of who you are in Christ, right? So watch this. If our desire, this will help you, our desire is not to be unclothed, but our desire is to be further clothed, then when are we further clothed? Right? Because our desire is to be further clothed. Now, here's the transition of what happens. You are further clothed as you go on. But the further here, obviously, that it's talking about is twofold. And listen, you'll find as you grow in the knowledge of God's Word, the way we continue to find together that the realities of the Word of God and what He's done is true then and true of our partaking now. You are the righteousness of God then, right? And you are the righteousness of God now. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new now. Right? And the Lord says in the book of Revelation that He is the God who will make all things new. Right? Speaking about the New Jerusalem, speaking about all these things that are heavenly things, the New Jerusalem is not earthly. The New Jerusalem is eternal. It's heavenly. Heaven will rule, right? Meaning things will be eternal the way they were intended to be, right? The garden and the things that God made were not intended to be earthly and to end, right? They were intended to be heavenly. They were intended to be heavenly, meaning eternal, right? Forever. But here's what he says. He says, while we're in this tent, we groan, not because we want to be unclothed, but because we want to be further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, can I show you what's happening? That mortality will be swallowed up by life completely when we're fully clothed, right? But mortality is being, right? Mortality is being affected now today, by that same spirit. And we're going to go there, and Romans 8 will show us, right? It says that if we have the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, then we by that same spirit will receive life into our mortal body, right? But what happened? It's not coming. We're receiving life from our mortal body. And if you ever heard us talk about, if you ever heard anyone here at this church speak about how life, when you see Him and you know Him as you are known, comes from the inside, you're going to see that even clearer today. So it says, for we who are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. And you're going to see where further clothing comes from. We're going to show you. But further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now you see what he's talking about? He's talking about things that if you read on the surface, looks like it's just talking about the by and by, right? Just all further clothed then. It's all just talking about now. But look at what he says here in verse number 5. And you prayed it up here today, because you talked about the Holy Spirit, right, that has been given to us. You said He left, but He gave us His Spirit, you said, right? It says, now He has prepared us for this. Hold on, right? First, who's He? He is God. And prepared us for what? Right? Prepared us for what? He's prepared us for living that kind of life. He's prepared us for living a life where mortality gets eaten up. Right? He's helped us to live that way. Jesus Christ was not kidding when He commanded His disciples and He says, go, heal the sick, raise the dead. When that happens, mortality is having pieces taken out of it, right? Mortality, in other words, natural things are being overtaken by things that are not of this world, that are heavenly things, right? So when He says, heal the sick, raise the dead, he's not kidding by saying that. So how does that get done? That gets done by the same power that rose Christ from the dead that affects a body. In other words, life in you is affecting a body. Your righteousness that you have within will so totally consume you in the day, right? So totally consume you, but it's consuming you now, right? It's affecting you now. It's increasing with you now as you further clothe yourself. And we'll touch this. Now that word prepared there said, now He who has prepared us for this, prepared, really honestly, if you study that word, it's nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found within the description of that word. It says He who's worked that in us. Prepare. Can I say this? Sometimes I will be totally honest with you. You really see, men are not perfect, right? And we know this. Pastors are not perfect. Let me give you a little newsflash, right? Theologians are not perfect either. Theologians that have a whole bunch of letters after their name and before their name that translated the Bible are not perfect. And you can see. You can see in a translation. I'll show you. This is a perfect verse. You can see in a translation the imperfections of a translation. It's not to criticize anybody. Could I have done today what they did? Right? Without the Lord, I could do nothing of that. Right? But you can understand a little bit at a time. I don't know how long they take to translate a Bible. To me, to translate a Bible correctly, you would probably, for it to be as close to 100% as it should be, would probably take eons to do. It's not an easy task, and nobody has said it is, and thank God that they do it. But here's why that's not such a big concern as we think it is, right? It's a big concern in that we should try to read something that is as close to what the reality of it is as we can. And the rest of it, can I tell you something? You're going to receive it by the Spirit of God anyway. Because you will question, you'll get to a point in your life where you question the things that you see based on the things that you know by the Spirit of God. You won't question what the Spirit of God is telling you and what you know because of what you read. Right? You'll know. And you'll know there's something wrong. So he says, now he who has prepared us for this very thing. And what it was talking about was being further clothed, right? He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us His Spirit as a guarantee, right? As a guarantee, it says. So we are always confident. And here's what it kind of contrasts now. It says, what he's saying there, he says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us His Spirit. And then he says, so here's how we live. And I'm going to read it to you in a second, but he says, here's how we live. Right now, in order for you to partake of those things, you have to do it by faith. And then you'll receive it fully, it just won't be by faith. That's basically what he's going to say. Watch how he says it. He says, for we are always confident. And faith is confidence, right? If you see Him fully and you know Him as He is, we're going to be pretty confident, right? When you know Him as you are known today, you are pretty confident, right? But it says, but not just there. He's not saying your confidence is only going to be there. He says here as well. We are always confident. But why? We are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body. So listen, please. This is not saying that your confidence comes from knowing that while you're at home in the body, you're absent from the Lord. That doesn't help a lot. Right? To read, well, Lord, I'm always confident because I know this. When I'm here, you're not. I'm not with you. That doesn't give confidence. But here's what he's saying. What he's saying is, we are always confident. He's basically saying, even though we know that while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, verse number 7, and remember, the Bible's not broken up into verses, it also doesn't have all this punctuation, so it's saying we're always confident, even though we know that when we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, yet we walk by faith and not by sight. When you put the verses together and you read them the way the Spirit of God shows you how to read it, right? You see, that's where the confidence is. And we know, because faith is the confidence. Faith is the assurance, right? So we know that we walk by faith, not by sight. It says we are confident, yes, well pleased rather. We are well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. But don't get this wrong. Not for the wrong reasons. He's not saying that the pleasure comes from just being able to escape this world. The pleasure comes, right? Because when you're absent from the body, you're present with God. So all that he's talking about there in verse number 8 is that the joy comes from being able to be present with Him, not because you were able to escape your problem. Because Paul, even when you heard him mention, when he talks about, you know, that even though he desires to leave and to live as Christ, but to die would be even better. But he says, but for your benefit, I will stay. Why? Because he could remain on this earth. We could live on this earth long, long lives, but prosper. In everything that we do in every area of our lives. We could be prospering and not having to be, like Miss Lindsay was praying, under our circumstance. We could be above it. Listen, you read beautiful things. You hear about beautiful things, right? About men being used by God to go out and heal the sick, and sickness dies in their hand. These are not things that are there, listen, for the elect few. They are not things that are there for the elect few. They are only there and apparent because of their use of knowing the Lord. Because of their use of growing in time. Because of their... Here's what happens. As you know the Lord Jesus more, you will be further clothed, right? In other words, you are growing in the knowledge of Him, so your righteousness is springing forth here. Your righteousness is springing forth. And what happens when righteousness springs forth, right? That's Isaiah 61, the bottom verse number 11. When righteousness springs forth, he is seen. But always know this. We think kind of like when we talk about that, we talk about it sometimes a little carnally, like Christ being seen means that kind of like his personality comes through. Right? That's, listen, when Christ is coming through, he's coming through. It's not his personality, it's the Spirit of Christ that's coming through. He didn't give you his personality, right? That's not what Brother Steve was praying up here. Thank you, Lord, that you made us just like you because you've given us your personality. He gave you himself, right? He gave you his Spirit. When he's coming through, it's his Spirit that's coming through, not his personality, right? We water down things in our mind because we want to feel comfortable in our inability to be Christ-like on this earth, but that's not what he wants, right? He wants us to be able to walk and to walk on this earth as Christ lived and walked, with him being able to live through you. And the only way that we do that, honestly, and we've heard it 1,000 times over, you rest in your flesh and you allow him to live through you. You know, we live, I told you at the beginning of the service that as you continue to hear tonight, you're going to hear things that are going to teach you how to live in this flesh, right? But doesn't Galatians 2, haven't we read it 100 times, right? It's not I that live, but Christ that lives in me, right? And this life that I now live in the flesh, how do I do it, Lord? I live it by faith. Why? As you live by faith in the Lord Jesus, right? You are putting on Christ. Listen, please, you're not putting on a personality. You're not putting on his gift of love so you can just flutter around giving people kisses. To love someone is to speak the truth to them and see life come out of their body. The point of the Lord to say, heal the sick, raise the dead, is to see the life that is in you. You remember when there was the Bible talks about a woman following and pestering the disciples. They were walking around, and she's demon-possessed. And she's pestering them constantly. You know what he does? Because of the life of, there's nothing in the words of that man or in the skin of that man, the apostles, that does anything to anyone. But the Spirit of God comes out, and the Spirit of God said to that woman, come out of her now. Right? And the Spirit of God, how can you be saved and be demon possessed, right? But the Spirit in that man affected that woman's body and everything that she is, her composition, her makeup, her demon possession, and that evil spirit left her and fled from her. So much so that because she was a fortune teller also. So her bosses were very angry because now they took away their fortune, their way of making money through this young girl, right? But you see what happens is God wants to affect the world. He wants to affect the world through you. He wants to affect the world through you. And the only way for him to do that is for you to know who he is. But that's everything, right? So listen, and the Lord says it if we get there. He says, this is the time that we're in right now is a time to grow in the knowledge of Christ, to seize the time and to know him and grow and enjoy yourself and delight yourself in him. Not to try to be studious, not to try to read all that you can, but to truly and honestly to sit down. You know, I have not been able to enjoy my time in the Word of God as much as I have within the last year, because in this last year, in the last 12 or so months, it's been so awesome to be able to come to a place to say, Lord, I don't even want to try to know anything. I just want to hear you just teach me it all. Just keep telling me. And it's so encouraging because you know your brain's not doing it. You know that it's not that you're noodling something. You're noodling and noodling something until you get a little nugget and then you teach that nugget that you got. Because anybody can noodle the Word of God and get a little gem that means something, but it could be, can I say something? It could be total truth. But the person saying it doesn't even know what the heck it means. Right? We can say something to somebody. The Spirit of God can minister something to someone and we don't even know what it means. But that's not where I want to be. I want to be able to speak and I want to profit from what the Lord is teaching me, and I want you to profit from it also. But we want to all profit, right? When you're speaking to somebody, you don't want it just to be that the Lord is using you as a vessel, right? But it's escaping your mind. You want your mind to be transformed as well, right? You want your mind to be transformed as well. Look at what he says. He says, therefore, in verse number 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing. He's just cementing there more again a life that's lived by faith in Jesus Christ. Because and remember, don't lose the theme of what he's talking about, right? It's about being clothed, Right? It's about being about putting on Christ. He's saying living by faith is being well pleasing to God. That is true, right? But it's also it's how you're clothed. It's how you put on Christ when you get up in the morning. It is the armor of God, right? It is the armor of God. Put on, the Bible says. Put on the whole armor of God. How do you do that? There's only one way. Learn Him. How do you put on the sword of the Spirit? How do you grab a belt of truth, right? How do you grab the helmet of salvation, right? How do you grab any of these things? You grow in the knowledge of Him who saved you, right? Who was the one that came not to bring, right? Not to bring peace, but to bring the sword that He puts in your hand now. That He puts in your hand, right? There's a way to put on the armor, and it's through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he says, verse number 10, for we must all appear, watch this, a verse that is used so much to condemn people. Look at what it says. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Watch the italics, right? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive. You're going to receive something, right? But watch what it says. Receive, which is really, without probably even looking it up, we're going to look it up anyway. Yeah. Comiso, I knew it, but whatever. But it says that each one may receive the things. You see how they put done? You know what they just made that verse mean? That if you do good things in this world and you help people, or if you do bad things in this world, you're going to receive judgment for what you've done. But here's the thing. Number one, that's not even what that verse is talking about. It's talking about being clothed. Right? So it's not talking about good or bad deeds. But why do people understand that? Because they don't know things about the Lord. They read italics and they take it to heart. Italics are put there supposedly to make the reader understand something. Here's the only problem. It's just like a paraphrase, right? What you're getting is the translation of that man. It's better to read the Word of God as is and let the Holy Spirit give it to you. And even if a man translates or preaches a word to you, at least you can see it in its raw form, right? So it's always better that way. It's always better to read the Word of God in a raw form, have a man preach, because a paraphrase is what? A paraphrase is a sermon. It's a man's understanding and they translate that, right? Just like any translation is, right? Any translation is translated by the knowledge of men. But what you want to get to is you want to read something as raw as you can get it. Let somebody teach you, fine, but you listen, you can't weigh the words of a man against the Bible if you're weighing it against the words of a man, right? That's the whole problem with this, right? You can't weigh the word of a man if what you're reading are the words of a man, right? The translation of a man. And I'm not saying that they don't pray before they went to translate and all these things, but you have to be in a place where the Spirit of God can teach you. So that's why translations like this are so good. Why? Because they italicize what they add. Right? So here, don't read that word now. And you already know we've been reading it, right? We already know what the context is. So stay with the context. It's talking about your body. It's talking about what you can partake of now and what you will receive then. And it's talking about a heaven. You already know. I told you at the beginning what you're going to receive. Verse number one said you're going to receive a body like His, right? A heavenly body. So stay with that and look at what it says. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive the things in the body. You see what he just said? That you may receive the things in the body. Why are you receiving things in your body? Why in the resurrection are you going to receive things in your body? Because your earthly body will be lifted up, right? Your earthly body will be lifted up. And it has to receive in it. It has to receive in it what? Life. In other words, mortality has to be swallowed up by immortality. That is what it will receive. And you will receive it from the good that you have done, right? And what is all of the good? Don't add to the Word of God. Just what is the good that it's been talking about that you should live by and that you should do? Faith in Jesus Christ. But one little four-letter word makes everyone read that verse and say what? That's about works. And at the judgment seat of Christ, people have gone, they've made movies about them playing films about your past life and what you've done. And then a conveyor belt where your good deeds and your bad deeds will come. And if you did bad things, they'll burn. And the good things that you've done, and look at how you helped a little old lady cross the street. And that's great, and that becomes a pearl, right? It's silliness. It's foolishness. And it is just because it's just not looked at. Because if we don't look at the Word of God, I know we said it 1,000 times, right? But when we don't look at the Word of God to see Christ, you can't see that. You can't see what he's saying because you're too involved in the words themselves. You're not looking for a person. You're trying to understand words like you would read a book on history, right? You can't read the Bible like that, right? The Bible is to be read, to be interpreted by the Spirit of God. The Bible is not up to men's interpretation, right? It's up to the Spirit of God's teaching, not up to the, right there even. It's not up to men's interpretation. Men can interpret the Bible, right? But anytime a man interprets the Bible, he's going to interpret it wrong. Because the Bible is not to be interpreted. The Bible is for the Spirit of God to teach it to you. Right? That's the only way you could ever see, is for him to illuminate. So if somebody tells me, you know what, the Bible is not to be interpreted, but the Bible is to be learned from the Spirit of God, who is your teacher, they would be speaking truth there, right? That's good to see. That's good to see. So let me show you something now. Let me show you something. With all that, because I want to pile a few other things on you, right? So we can see it. We know, real quick, 1 Corinthians 13, verse... let me show you something else. 1 Corinthians 13, look at verse number 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8. Look at what it says. See, you know where we're going? Where we're going is that the way you are further clothed there is because you're going to know Him as you are known. If that's going to happen to us there, And what God in this body that we have right now has not given us an escapism mentality. He's not telling us that what we desire is to put away this body. In other words, our desire is not to die and put this down. Our desire is to dominate this, to reign in this body. To reign in it. That while you're living, this flesh does not reign over you. But you reign. In other words, the Spirit of God in you reigns in you. That's why I love that song when we sing, reign in me. Reign in me. When we talk about reign in me, you're saying, Lord, put to death the deeds of the body. How do you put it to death? By the Spirit. He said, if we by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, the Bible says you will live. You see that? But you were alive before. So obviously, what kind of living is it talking about? If you through the Spirit, it says, put to death the deed, the work of the flesh. If you put to death the work of the flesh, you will live. Right? That's how it's done. That's how it's done. Look at what he says in verse number 8. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Why? Because that knowledge will vanish away because you will know Him as He is. You see even why people that seek knowledge on this earth, and they have made the seeking of knowledge on this earth the critical, most important thing that a person can do here, is to seek knowledge here. You know the funny thing is? When you know Him as you are known, knowledge fades. Knowledge is gone. Just because you know Jesus fully. When you know Jesus fully, knowledge is gone. What kind of knowledge are we seeking here, right? It's the same kind of knowledge you want to seek. The knowledge you will have there is the same knowledge you want to seek here. It's the same thing. We live in this earth, yes, but we are not of it anymore. We live as kingdom children on this earth. You live as a stranger, as a foreigner, because it's not the same way you want to live. Look at what it says. For it says, love never fails. It says, knowledge will vanish away. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 13, 9. For we know in part. We know in part. And we prophesy in part. So that means that right now, you are clothed. You will be clothed. In your spirit, you're clothed fully, right? In righteousness. But outwardly, right? You can be further clothed a bit at a time. You can grow in the knowledge of Christ and you can receive and you can partake of those things, but not, right? Not completely and not fully, but that shouldn't slow you down, right? That shouldn't slow you down. But it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And listen, I have heard even at men's conferences this verse preached right here. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The only thing is, that's not talking about your life here, right? Because what it's talking about is, it's an example. But here it's talking about a child, meaning that the one who knows in part is a child. The one who knows in part is a child. And that definition carries throughout the Bible when you're talking about children. But here it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, that is that day, you put away childish things. What does that mean? Knowledge vanishes away and I know fully. That's what that means. I put away childish. And then it gives you another example and it explains further in 12. It says, for we now see in a mirror. See in a mirror dimly. What is that? The same child. that sees in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. What is it talking about? When you see the Lord and you know Him as you're known, right? Face to face, face to face. But now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Listen, don't miss that. It says, now I know in part. But what part is it that you know? Now I know in part. It says, but then I shall know just as I also am known. But you see how awesome it is about the part? The part that it's saying you know is of Him. That's the part that you have, is the knowledge of Him. Now you can have a very small part, or you can have a very large part, but the part that you have is just all of Him. You see how equal that is? In other words, it's the same. The knowledge you will have there is the knowledge you will have here. That's how you put on Christ here. That's how you put on Christ. That's how you live. That's how you live on this earth. Look at what it says. It says, here we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know Him just as I am known. Let me show you something else. Let me show you something else. Let's go from here. Let's look at Romans. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 9. Look at what it says. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. And if Christ is in you, right, which all of the right, we have the Spirit of Christ. So it says, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. That is true. It says, but remember and don't forget, right, that the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So how you're clothed in the Spirit is life to your flesh because of the righteousness that you possess inside, right? Because you are righteous and perfect inside, the spirit of just men that have been made perfect, your body then is affected. Your body is affected by that same exact righteousness. Your body is affected. So it says, and if Christ is in you, in verse number 10, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life. Right? Will also give life, just like He gave life to His body, will also give life to your mortal body through that same Spirit who dwells in you. See, life to your mortal body through the same Spirit who dwells in you. It says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, look at it right there. But if by the Spirit you put to death the work, the deeds of the body. Now remember, that's not talking about sin. Right, that didn't say if you put to death sin, right? It says if you put to death the deeds of the body. The deeds of the body is what Galatians talks about, right? When the flesh is working. If you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live the same life that it was talking about before. You see what happens? Look, it says, let me show you this further, because we only have a few minutes. Look at Matthew 22 verse number 1. Matthew 22 and verse number 1. You guys remember we were talking about the vine dressers, how there were the evil vine dressers and how they would kill the prophet, right? Just like the prophets that came to the people of Israel, so these were the men that were sent by the vineyard owner, right? Look at what it says. It says in verse number 1, it says, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son, right? Now what is that doing, right? A king who arranged a marriage for his son. So right there, it's calling us the bride of Christ, and God is arranging a marriage for His son. So look at what it says. He sent out His servants to call those who were invited. Who were those that were first invited to the wedding? Who were they? Do you know? Right? The Jews were invited first. Beautiful, right? They were invited first, and it says they were invited first to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Right? They were not willing to come. And again, He sent out servants. Now, these are the prophets, right? He sent out servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared, look at what He says, I have prepared my dinner. My ox and my fatted cattle are killed. What is He talking about there? He said, I have given you my own son. I have given you my own son. It's already ready. But you see what the Lord is saying there? He calls everything ready from the crucifixion on forward. We call everything ready and finished. Sometimes when we get there, we say that. He calls it finished from the cross going forward. The time we're living in, He says, it's on. It's on. It's done. It's ready. Everything's prepared. The same Spirit that you have been given already And he's worked in you to prepare you to live a life like that. You have his spirit on the inside of you, and he's prepared you to live a life like that. He says, he sent out again other servants in verse number 4. Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Come to the wedding, right? Come to me, you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. My God. You have to understand this, right? We are the bride of Christ, and we will have him there, right? But so many times, it talks to us now as though he's already, as a husband, depositing seed in his bride already. He talks about it like it's already done. He talks about it like we're already his bride. He talks so many times in the scripture like having his glory already. The glory of God on the inside of us. The same glory that she'll show forth and manifest, right? You have on the inside of you already. He says, again, it says, he sent out other servants in verse number 4, telling them, go out to those who are invited. See, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it. They made light of the word of God. They made light of the grace of God. And they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his business, caught up what? In the things of this age, in the things of this world. Always busily working about the things here and not a mindfulness of Jesus Christ, right? And he says, and the rest, it says, the rest that were there that didn't go to their farms and that didn't go to another business, it says the rest of the servants, they seized the servants, treated them spitefully and killed them, right? It sounds like those vineyard workers, right? But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up the city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready. It's still ready, right? Even those that are invited rejected it. He said, it's still ready, right? And he says, he said to the servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Those who were invited, listen, were not worthy. If you remember, see, that's why it's so beautiful to hear the things that he's telling you. Because, listen, the Holy Spirit works like that with you. You'll read something, and he takes it and he reminds you of it. He says, remember that I taught you over there? That word worthy, when that came up, there was something that the Lord was teaching us about worthiness. He says, those who were invited were not worthy. And I think this was the last service of the service before, where the Lord was teaching us that if you love your father and your mother or your brother and sisters more than you love me, you're not worthy of me, he said. So what was the wrong with them? They loved everything else and they treasured everything else except the Messiah that was standing in front of them, right? We treasure the Lord and we love him. They despised the Lord, right? They didn't treasure him. They didn't see him as the answer, right? And so even today, some Christians see the Lord Jesus as their salvation and their way to heaven, but they don't see him as the answer to anything else in their life. Like, he didn't save them from anything else. It was just saving them from hell, but he didn't save them from life itself. Right? That's because they really, honestly, that has to be in my life one of the most powerful verses ever written. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. It's no longer, imagine a church filled with people that understood and had a revelation of that verse. Lord, it is no longer I that live. My God, if we could see that. My God. Right? The day's coming. We're going to see it more and more and more. So it says, we got there. And then here's what he says in verse number 9. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. You know who those are? The Gentiles, right? Beautiful, right? The Gentiles. So those servants, they went out into the highways, and they gathered together all whom they found, right? Both good and bad, right? Bad and good. So it didn't matter what their works were like. It didn't matter what they thought, whether they were bad or whether they were good. The Lord said, come. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Watch what happens, though. But when the king came in to see the guest, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Now, when you read the word of God, right, don't get caught up in a robe, right? Because to you, a robe is something that you do what? That the majority of the time, maybe not all the time, but the majority of the time you wear over clothing, right? Or you wear over something. Not most people don't wear a robe with nothing underneath it unless maybe it's like a bath robe, right? But that's not the point. But here, you see, your mind can get all wrapped up in that. But the wedding garment is the only clothing that these people have. It's all they're clothed with. What did we start off talking about, right? That we don't want to put off this body, speaking about a body, but we want to be further clothed with that which is heavenly, right? When you're clothed with that which is heavenly, you look just like him. You walk like him. You talk like him. You heal like him. You speak like him. You're walking like him on this earth. That's what it's talking about that day completely. But it's a beautiful thing to see. The Bible tells you that here in this day now, you walk as Christ on this earth. The Lord recognizes you as a king and as a priest unto him. You don't walk around like some kind of earthly human being that God does not see you like he sees everybody else. You are not the same, right? You are not the same. You have gone to the place where you came to the threshing floor, and there he made a distinction between wheat and chaff. And chaff can be wheat tomorrow, and that's an awesome thing, but don't think it's the same. He doesn't look at you the same. He doesn't see you the same. You don't walk the same on this earth. You may not have a clue yet who you are entirely, but it doesn't mean that he doesn't look at you as someone who is lacking, as someone who is poor, as someone who is sick, as someone who has nothing. He sees you full of everything. Every answer and every opportunity and all power and all gifting. You lack no, the Bible says that in you, you lack no gift for anything. It doesn't matter what the task at hand is. And we do that imperfectly, right? We work tasks and we see our lack. And when we face those lacks and we look at them, we concentrate on them and we try to get somebody to fill the void of that lack. But you can live on this earth and any task before you, you can be gifted to be able to perform it and do it. Why? Because if you had no one else around you, if there was no one else around you, you would just by yourself, right? You would not be found short of being able to do something that the Lord wants you to do, right? But then you will say, well, yeah, but how about the things that the Lord doesn't want you to do that you just have to do for everyday life? That's also a misunderstanding of Galatians 2, right? Because this life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. We're not supposed to be doing things that are not the will of God to do. We're not supposed to be just doing whatever the heck we want to do with this life because we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. We live it out imperfectly, but it doesn't take out of the truth, right? The truth is what the truth is. Because you live something imperfectly, and because we live many times, not like we are totally his, but we live like we are the ones that dominate this flesh, and like we are the ones that are able to make decisions with it and make our own destiny and try to be like other religions that say that I, because this is what the man said, and that man is worshipped for his words. He said, I am the captain of my own destiny, and that is a crock. Because you are not the captain of your own destiny. The Spirit of God in you is the captain. He is the forerunner. He is the one that you follow. We are not captains. We are followers, right? But we take things to say as though you can forge your own destiny. And you can forge, and we teach our children to do so, and that's incorrect to do. Teach your children to depend on Christ, not to think that they can forge their own destiny, because they will try real hard and they will fall flat on their face and they will say, Mom and Dad, I thought you said if I work real hard, I could do anything. But that's not true. Because there's lots of people that work real hard and aren't doing anything, right? So it's not true. And it's not just for the lucky ones, right? It's good to know there is a sure way to live. There is a sure way to live. And it's not because you're so studious, and it's not because you're such a good worker. It is because you have Christ in you. And if we learn to live that way, he can prosper. Listen, as God is my witness, he can prosper everything you set your hand to. He can prosper everything you set your hand to. He can prosper everything your children set their hand to. That's good to know. That's good to know. Let's go ahead and wrap this up then. And he says, he said that the wedding hall was filled with guests. In verse number 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, because many are called because the Lord has called the world, but few are chosen, because the chosen is by the election of the grace of God, right? And if it's not by the election of the grace of God, right, then those are called not chosen, right? Because they have not accepted what? The grace of God. So that's something that we have learned quite a few months ago, probably years by now, right? But the election of grace, that's a good thing. Listen, if you can see what the main driver, what the Lord was trying to show us here today, that there is an escapism mentality that says, if I could just get rid of this body. Listen, you make yourself mentally, you affect yourself mentally, because especially when you find yourself ill, right? You say, oh Lord, how I look forward to the day. Watch this way of thinking. Lord, when I can put off this body, and I can just have a heavenly body, Father, where there is no more sickness and no more disease and no more pain. You know what you just talked yourself into? that it's okay to live that way here and there's nothing you can do about it. Because that's an escapism mentality, right? That's an important verse for us, right? We live in this life not wanting to be unclothed. We don't want to be unclothed. We don't want to be unclothed. We don't want to be unclothed. It's not the answer to your life. For the Lord to take you out of your problem is not the answer to your life. For the Lord to prosper your business so you have all of the money that you could ever need is not your answer, right? None of the thing, the answer to what we need cannot be found in this world. What you need and what I need in my life cannot be found in this world. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. We look at problems and we try to solve problems with carnal things. Right? So here's what we do. We have a problem with money. So we go to try to get more money to pay the problem. Right? Right? So you got a financial problem, so work more hours. Because if you work more hours, you can solve your problems. Listen, people, I'm telling you this, we're killing ourselves. We're killing ourselves. This is not something that we can just blow off and say, you know what, it's okay to live carnally whenever we can. We're trying to solve problems in a world, right? And God has given us, and He said, the weapons of your warfare can never be carnal. You cannot fight this life in here. You cannot live in this life if it's not by faith. If you try to live it the way the world lives it, it brings death. It does not bring life. He's saying you can't fight that way. We know all, listen, there's so much that we know, but we still fight in so many ways of our lives. We fight carnally. If we can get collectively to a place here where we see by the Spirit of God, the greatest thing that I could do is grow in the knowledge of Christ. And Father, I will become a partaker of the things that you have given me. Listen, that truth is not a small truth. That truth is not a small truth. Listen, I remember the day. I was thinking yesterday. I was talking to a person that I love very much yesterday and today again. And Christian, right? Loves the Lord. Loves the Lord. But sickness and disease, right? It's interesting. Well, because you know how it is. Because I prayed to God to see if He would have mercy on me. Because... To see if He would have mercy, because, you know, that the Lord would be merciful and heal me. She'll never get healed. She'll never get healed. Because she thinks the Lord has to be merciful. When He said, all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, because I have been merciful to their unrighteousness, right? You know what the misunderstanding is? What is it? The misunderstanding in a problem that we have is the knowledge of Christ is absent. We don't know that He healed the world 2,000 years ago. Not we, right? But people that struggle with sickness and disease. I remember the day and the time where I used to hear people say that they were unsure whether God heals all people or some. And I was in a way comfortable with that because I didn't have an answer for it, right? But all that you have to know is what He finished. If you understand the finished work of Jesus Christ, it sounds like an absurdity to say that you don't know if God heals some. He did that for everyone. He didn't do that for some people, right? He took sickness, disease, sin, right? And still people, they try to talk about, well, I don't know if that word there that says sickness, if that, because I think that really means grief. Listen. Okay, so leave that alone. If we want to ignore those words, leave that alone. Just pick sin then. Because sin is the root of all things that are in this world. And if you are convinced that He took our sin, then He took everything. And that's exactly what He did. We can get all caught up in griefs and sorrows and not really know what the translation for that is. Know what He did. If you know, when we want to grow in the knowledge of Christ, we don't want to know what color His eyes are. We want to know, what did He do? What did Christ do that impacts me today? If I am suffering, what do I not know about what Christ did? And listen, and then you could take courage in that and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to beat myself up over where I am. I'm not going to drive myself crazy over the things that I see missing. I just, Lord, I'm going to enjoy myself and I'm going to know you more. And when I have stupid thoughts tomorrow about condemning myself, I'm just going to enjoy myself and I'm going to know you more. Listen, we're coming to a place, people, we're so close. We're so close. If we would just keep pushing a little bit, we're right there at the precipice of just knowing that. people don't know that commonly. We're right there as a church. We're right there. The things that God can do, if we can learn that it's no longer we that live, but it's Christ that lives in us, and that all that He's asking us to do is to know Him more. And if you could see that, if you could see that one truth, that it's just knowing Him is everything, then you'd have to establish in your heart what is to know Him. And there's only all that He wants you to know is what He finished. You can't know anything else or know anything else or have anything else revealed to you about Jesus Christ at all other than what He finished. And if you know that and you start seeing that, you will begin to question the Christian norm, and you will know and you will begin to see it. You'll begin to see it. Listen, this can't be something 2-3 people can't see it. 4-7, it has to be. The Lord wants His body to know it. This is not a Harvest Family Church thing. This is a body of Christ thing. It's a body of Christ thing. This is not something. Listen, I thank the Lord with all my heart that you're here today, and it's 8:45, and you're still sitting there, and you haven't gotten up disgusted and left, right? But you know what the thing is? Can I tell you something? What is more important than this? Can we honestly think of anything? I right now in my mind, I can't think of a single solitary thing that's more important. It's worth losing sleep over. It's worth losing sleep over. It's worth everything to grow in the knowledge of Christ. It's worth, you know what, doing whatever you have to do to be able to take time just to delight yourself in Him. You know what? You'll lose the sense and the taste for the things of this world that used to taste good to you. You'll lose it. You'll lose it. You won't even have to try to lose it. It's just that you'll be tasting of His goodness, and other things won't taste that good to you anymore. Listen, some of you today, you're hurting because of the way people treat you. You're hurting because you allow the things that other people do to hurt you deeply, right? Jesus Christ was rejected by all, asked His own disciples, "You're going to leave too?" And His feelings would not have been hurt. You know why? He was full in His Father. He was full in His Father. He chose 12, and one of the 12 that He chose knew Him, chosen by the Lord, was a son of perdition, and He Himself was the one that betrayed Him. The one that He put hours, countless days into giving Him the gospel. That one betrayed Him. Not everyone who hears the truth 24 hours a day believes it, right? How much truth did Judas Iscariot hear? How much did he hear? Forget about coming to church 3 times a week, right? Forget about coming to church 2x a week. He lived and slept with the Messiah. And he still betrays Him and then commits suicide. Hearing is not enough, right? Hearing is not enough. Hearing is enough. Hearing by the Spirit of God. And it can't even begin until you say, "I can't understand." If you say, "I cannot," see, we're talking about things that are so basic in Christian life, but still, we've not all come to the place where we've said, "Father, I cannot learn Your Word, and I cannot understand it." We still think that you can have a degree and you can understand the Word of God better. That if you go to Bible school, you can come out, and if they give you hermeneutics, right? Because you learned, you know, the study, you know, the law of first mention and the law of this mention. Listen, forget about all the stupidity that men try to teach. The Spirit of God is the only one that can teach, and you could have never stepped foot inside a Bible college and just go away for 14 years with the Holy Spirit and come back a theologian, so-called, right? That you would speak to the disciples and they were called. Listen, Paul came back with a calling to men that these men still despised, that were taught by Jesus Christ. They still despised the Gentiles, right? He came back with an understanding. A man that was taught by Jesus Christ came back with an understanding and a call to the Gentiles, and they weren't even his own people. He was a Jew himself. A Jew himself, right? One that was even persecuting the church. What can the truth of God do in your life if it can take a Christian killer and make him one of the greatest apostles that ever lived? Didn't even walk with Jesus. Didn't even talk with Jesus, right? Didn't have Jesus put his hand on him. Never got to put his head on Jesus' chest, right? You could have been as intimate as John and seen great wonders and still not wrote all that Paul wrote and been used like Paul was used, right? Listen, it's not about physical carnal things that we experience in this life. It really isn't. It's just knowing him. Just knowing him, you have every advantage. So can I tell you something? Things happen, people, and they hurt you deeply, and people betray you, and people do horrible things to you, and spouses can leave you, and divorce can happen, and people can do just despicable things to you. But the Lord is teaching you, listen to me, no matter what happens in your life, going forward in your life, you can be a steady and nothing move you. And you can think that that's unfeeling, but that's not unfeeling. It's that you have the power of God on the inside of you and you're full of Christ. And you can be in a place where you've partaken so much of His grace that you're not moved. That's where He wants us to be. We're so close, I'm telling you, we're so close to seeing it and beginning to see it as a church. And if we keep pushing forward, we're going to see it. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the head of this church, Lord. How good are you, Father, when you warn us? How good are you when you warn us, Lord, of things to come? And still sometimes, Lord, we have an attitude within us, Lord, that says, I've heard enough, I'm done, I want to leave, I want to go home. Things that prevent us, Lord, from just being able just to persevere and to hear. Lord Jesus, that your love, my God, for them is so deep, my God. The love that you have for each and every single one of these, Father, right here, they're yours. They are yours, Father. You bought them. You purchased them by your own blood for your Son. You purchased them by your own blood for your Son. Father, there are things, Lord, that I desire, Lord, to see in my life. Things that I desire to see, Lord, in their lives. But Father, above all the things that we can get our eyes off of and onto fruit, there is one thing, Lord, that supersedes any fruitfulness that I would ever want to see in their lives, that they would want to see in their lives, that surpasses any fruitfulness that I would want to see in my life. Lord, and that is the undying desire to just want to know you more. Father, I thank you, Lord, that they have that already. A desire to know you more. Lord Jesus, that we would come to a place to say, Father, I cannot know you. But Holy Spirit, you have been given to me. And I have been prepared to live a life by faith. You have worked in me already. You have worked in me already for me to be able to become a partaker, Lord, of your divine nature right here on this earth. Right here on this earth. Lord Jesus, I just thank you, Lord. As I was looking around just before at the faces that are here tonight, Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that I feel pity for no one here. Because we all have the same advantage, the same spirit, the same power, the same life on the inside of us, Lord, the same. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that there never has to be any comparison. Never has to be, my Father. Never has to be, Lord, any competition, Lord Jesus. But just one thing, an undying desire to want to know you more. So we thank you, Jesus, that because we have that already. I pray, Lord, that as we live, that we would just use the simplicity of those words right there and just live by them right there. Listen now. Live by faith. Live by faith in Jesus and live no other way. Live by faith in Jesus and live no other way. When busyness and time and deadlines and bosses and money and future and schooling and busyness just comes into your life and tries to consume you, just remember you can do all things that come into every day in your life. You can do all things through Christ who lives and breathes on the inside of you. Thank you, my Father, that we can do all things, anything in this life that comes to us. We can do it all through you, Jesus. Father, bring us to that place more. Bring us to that place even more and even further. Lord Jesus, where we just know that we cannot and you already have. That we cannot and that you already have. For you did what we could not do already. You proved it already, Lord. You did what we could not do because we were weak through the flesh. You sent your Son because of the weakness of this flesh. This flesh, Father, can't even do anything right without being prideful. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you teach us and you live and you move and you have your being in us, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I love them so much, Father. I love the people of this church, my Lord Jesus, so much. I love them so much. And that's one thing, Lord, I pray over them, Father, right now. By the anointing, Lord, that is on the inside of them, Lord, that anointing, Lord Jesus, in them would teach them. That the anointing would teach them and that they would have ears to hear the Spirit of God. And that as they delight themselves in you, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you fill their hearts with your desires. Hallelujah. And we can keep moving on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're right there. We're right there. Thank you, Lord, that we're going the right way. We're going the right way. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that concludes our segment for today. This message was recorded at Harvest Family Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Family Church meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays, 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, and 7 p.m. on Fridays. You can get more information about HFC online at bringinginTheHarvest.org, or you can call us at 845-295-4560. Thank you for listening.